Try to gather all your attention right here. Right here at your present awareness, your awareness of the breath. And do what you can to keep any outliers from wandering away and unraveling your concentration. You've got to remind yourself that this is the most important thing you can be doing right now. As far as you're concerned, this is the most important thing in the world. Getting your mind trained, getting the mind to settle down so it has a sense of well-being, and be able to see itself clearly, so it can take care of business inside. Empires rise and fall, but the mind remains. That's got to be your perspective. Because the mind remains not only through the death of the body, but through many, many cycles of the universe. And so you've got to get into good shape, because otherwise it's going to take you to weird places, undesirable places. If it's in good shape, you can go to good places. And you want to make a good place right here to begin with. It's by tuning in to the possibilities for peace and well-being right now that you also tune into the possibilities for peace and well-being in other places in the cosmos. But as for where you're going, when, put that all aside. It's right now that's important, because this is where the work can be done, seeing what's going on in your mind. Because if you go into thoughts about the past and the future, it's like watching a play. You're sitting in the audience, and you see the effect that the acting has, and you can see the pull that it has to get involved in the story, and to believe that it's really real. But it's at the present moment that you can get behind the scenes, get backstage, and see how they create those effects, and you begin to see through them. And you start thinking about the extent to which your thoughts can determine your actions and the way your thoughts have led you in good and bad places in the past. Without much pattern, you want to give some pattern to your thoughts. In other words, turn them into a path that leads to the end of suffering. Because this is something that you have to do on your own. After all, no one else can experience your suffering. This is something each of us has. That's really, really our own. Other people can see the outside effects, perhaps, but there's a lot that nobody else can see. You can't take your pain out and show it to other people. When they do analyses of levels of happiness and levels of pain, they have to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, where is your happiness right now? Where is your pain? And who knows where your 1 is, who knows where your 10 is, as compared to somebody else's. You can't take them out and compare them. And so you think about all the numbers that are generated in those kinds of studies. And of course, it's garbage in, garbage out. Fortunately, the solution to this problem lies inside as well. And the cause lies inside. The Buddha talks about the craving that leads to suffering. Notice he doesn't say physical pain leads to suffering, or the disappointment leads to suffering. He says it's the craving and the clinging that lead to the suffering. Those are things that happen within, which means that it's within your power to change the cause of suffering into the path to the end of suffering. The cause of suffering was something outside, it would be beyond your control. Because other people have their freedom of choice, they can do what they want, and the world has its ways of changing all the time. And if that were the real cause of suffering, the suffering that eats into the mind, then there wouldn't be much hope. But here, the cause is inside. So you want to see that. And it's right here that you see it. Now to see that, you're going to be seeing some things you don't like about yourself. That's why we work on concentration, to get the mind to settle down and have a sense of well-being. You soothe the mind with a breath. The question often arises, how much concentration do you need? And the Buddha talks about different levels of jhana, he calls them, but we're not here to focus on jhana, we're here to focus on our breath. There's no jhanometer that can measure whether you've gone over the threshold to how much concentration is needed. What you know is you get the mind still enough with a sense of well-being, that you like being here. That's the important thing. So if the breath isn't the way you like it, change the breath. Or if the mind's not willing to settle down with the breath right now, there are other topics you can think about that get it more and more inclined that it will want to settle down, and then you can bring it back to the breath. This is one of the reasons why we have those chants at the beginning that give you all kinds of reflections. Reflecting on the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. If you know much about the Buddha, you can think about his life, what an inspiring life it was. How inspiring his example was in going out and putting his life on the line to find the very skill that we're practicing right now. And when he came back from his awakening, he didn't charge money. All he asked was that people be honest and observant in looking into their own hearts and minds to see where they were causing themselves suffering and be willing to take on his teachings and give them a fair try. You can think about the Dharma itself. You can think about the Sangha, the people who've followed the Buddhist teachings and realized that, yes, awakening is possible. They brought that tradition down to us here in the present moment. Sometimes thinking about these things can get the mind in the right mood to settle down. We also have the contemplation of goodwill, compassion, empathetic joy, equanimity. Sometimes thinking about those things, extending them to all people, can help the mind to settle down. The contemplation of aging, illness, and death, to remind you that this really is serious business. Death does pose dangers. Aging, illness, they all pose dangers to the mind. Because if we're not skilled, we can take these things and turn them into a lot of suffering. This is why we have to focus on the craving and the clinging that can turn anything into suffering. You think about these things for a while, and it brings you back to the present moment, because the work that needs to be done is done right here. And when the mind is calmed down, because often there are issues out there in the world that can get you all stirred up. But it's good to think about these things, so you can put everything into perspective, so you can realize that training the mind, getting the mind to settle right down, is the most important thing you can be doing right now. If you think about your responsibilities outside, ask yourself, what kind of mind state will handle those responsibilities best? Well, a mind that's calm and clear and stable. That's the kind of mind you want to create right now. So even though you may have other jobs that you have to work on, other things you have to think about, this is not the time for that. This is the time to get the mind in good shape so it can think properly and do those jobs properly when the appropriate time comes. So this breath is important. Your awareness of this breath is important. Your ability to understand how to get the breathing to be comfortable so that mind likes to stay here. Once there's a sense of ease in the breath, how do you allow that sense of ease to spread through the body? If you push it too much, you stretch it too much, then it's not going to be ease anymore. Think of it spreading like a liquid or like a cloud, going through all the parts of the body. There may be some parts that are resistant. Well, don't push it against those too much, because again, when you start pushing, ease is not ease. Think of it seeping in, and hold in mind the perception that the parts of the body that seem to be resistant are porous. And allow that ease to settle in. And you're sitting here surrounded by that sense of ease. the very sense of the blood flow through the body, allow that to feel easeful as well. In other words, you're trying to create a sensation here that the mind can settle into where it feels secure, feels soothed on all sides. So you can begin to comprehend what it is that the mind does that creates unnecessary suffering for itself. We all want happiness. We all want well-being. Everything we do is for the sake of well-being, and yet we end up creating some ill-being instead. And we want to see why that is. What's the ignorance that causes that? Well, the Buddha says part of that is you don't comprehend exactly what the suffering is. The word comprehension is used in two contexts, one properly and one not. In the context of right mindfulness, sometimes they use the word sampajanya, they translate that as clear comprehension. But actually, it's alertness. You want to be alert to what you're doing, you want to be alert to what the causes are. And alertness is something you do want to develop so you can comprehend, okay, what's the suffering? And that's where the word comprehension is properly used. The duty with regard to the suffering and stress in the mind is you want to comprehend it. First, that means seeing what it is. There's been a lot of misinformation. They said the Buddha said that life is suffering. He never said that. He said something very specific. It's the clinging to the aggregates. Things like feelings and perceptions and thought constructs. We cling to these things. We keep doing them over and over again. That's what clinging means for the mind. We cling to it and then we feed on that. We seem to need these things. And we go running after a lot of pleasures that contain a lot of clinging and craving. And then we wonder why the pleasure isn't satisfying. Well, the pleasure contains the clinging that really is stressful, really is suffering. But in our drive to go for what we want, we tend to turn a blind eye to it and don't recognize it. This is what we have to comprehend. Exactly where in our ways of feeding on life, feeding on our surroundings, where is the clinging? Exactly what causes us to go for these things? Where is the appeal? So to see this, you have to get the mind really still. And then start asking the right questions. In other words, where is the suffering? Where is the cause? What can I do to see it more clearly? What can I do to let go of the cause more effectively? Try to get the mind into a position where it can actually ask these questions and start seeing some of its ignorance peel away, fall away, as you begin to realize, oh, this is what I'm doing. These are all terms that are used in the texts, but they're meant to be very, very relevant to what you're doing in a very immediate sense, as close to your awareness as possible. There's a pun they have in Thai where they talk about how practicing the Dharma is basically practicing yourself. The word practice there in Thai can also mean looking after something or looking after another person. So when you're practicing the Dharma, you're looking after yourself. You're taking care of this big issue inside you. And notice Buddha never says, well, you just have to learn how to put up with suffering because you want to devote your life to other people. He says the best way of practicing is to clear up the problem inside, and then you're in a much better position to help others. Because if you're suffering for ignorance and you're trying to help other people to stop suffering from ignorance, it's not going to work. So you take care of your immediate problem right here. And it is important. That's the Buddha's gift to you. Saying, yes, your suffering does matter. And he was earnest enough to find the way out. And he hopes that you're earnest enough to take his teachings and put them to good use.